This is Nancy Emerson with the Mill Valley Historical Society, Mill Valley Library Oral History Program, and I'm here on November 4th, 2016, interviewing Tia Smirnoff. Good morning, Tia.
Good morning. I'm Tia Smirnoff, Esther, and I've lived in Mill Valley for over 50 years.
Can you explain where you were born and how you came to Mill Valley?
I was born in San Diego, and I came to Mill Valley when I married my husband.
Okay, and who is your husband?
My husband is Andrew Smirnoff.
Uh-huh.
And
how did you happen to meet him?
On the beach. I played volleyball, and he was a jogger. And somehow we just ended up talking and liking each other.
Great.
Then we moved up here. We built our house in Mill Valley, down by Marin Terrace School, which was knolls, just mountains of no houses. There was probably about five houses out there, and now there's millions of them.
You said that you've been here for over 50 years. Oh. Do you remember the date that you moved here?
No, it's just a blank. I can't I'm not good at remembering dates.
Uh-huh.
I never have.
Okay.
But it's been over, we've been married, if we my husband was alive, we would have been married probably about 55 years now.
Wow. He passed away.
He passed away a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh. And how did you happen to choose Mill? Was he from Mill Valley?
He was from San Francisco, and they used to travel through Mill Valley to get to the Russian River, and he just bought lots here. It was his dream to come down here, and I followed his dream, and it was a good dream. I'm happy where I'm at.
So you built, you said you built your home.
We built our
own
home.
Up by Marin Terrace School, which is up on the,
Harvard and
Harvard, those
and all the, college, all the college names.
Yeah. And you had some children.
I have four children. I have Lydia, I don't know how old they are, Lydia, Sandia, Mark, and Michelle.
Great. And they all live in the Bay Area?
No, they're all over the place.
Uh-huh.
Novato, San Francisco, just all over.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, let's see. You introduced yourself as Esther, but you go by Tia.
Go by Tia. I was born a Tia. I was always a Tia. And then when I came down here, I guess I wanted to make my kids bilingual, so I called myself Tia. And it was a lot easier because nobody else had that name, and I knew when they were calling me, they were calling me.
That's true. So Tia is a Spanish word,
yes,
right?
For aunt.
So were you raised in a Spanish family?
I am a Mexican. I'm a Mexican Indian, yes.
Uh-huh. And did your siblings call you Tia, or did you become Tia after you were was an
no,
adult?
No, they called that was sister, my sister.
Uh-huh.
Mija, mi hermana.
Uh-huh.
But you know, yeah. They didn't call me Tia. Well, they did now and then. But then there were so many of us that were Tias and Tios that
it wouldn't be as unique.
It wouldn't be unique in the family as it would be out of the family.
Great. Well, you're renowned in Mill Valley for many things, among them the work that you've done with children and your other volunteer activities, as well as your wardrobe. Can you tell us about them?
Well, it started when I started working with kids, and they would be playing in the mud or whatever, and I ended up holding their watches and their chains and their stuff, and I had pockets, so I had to have a lot of pockets, and the coveralls were what I needed. And all the pockets held all the stuff, and sometimes I took the stuff home and had to bring it back and figure out who belonged to what with all these watches and jewelry and all that while they played with mud and dug all the school up. And the hat, it was the same thing. I needed something to be out there watching them, so I didn't want a round hat because they would fly off, and this one stays on.
So from the beginning, have you always had the engineer's cap?
No.
The hat that you have? Have you used different hats?
I used to wear a scarf, and that didn't work too well, but the hat, and I like the hat. I like the way it fits.
Mm-hmm. Well, it certainly is part of the image of you.
It seems like it. I didn't intend it to be that way, but it did. And I like, you know, that's my wardrobe.
Well, the third thing that we haven't talked about is your sunglasses.
Oh, yes.
You wear reflective sunglasses.
Right.
Is there a reason for that?
Well, the light does hurt my eyes. Uh-huh. I used to wear dark glasses. Then one day I realized I couldn't see what I was looking at. So I went to the eye doctor and they gave me this. And I thought, you know, I like the mirror glasses. Because when you look at children, they're looking at themselves and they're talking to themselves, and yet they know I'm behind there. It's just, it works.
It does work. It does work. Well, great. So, can you tell us how you got into after-school care, child care, and what you've done with it since those early days?
Well, they needed after-school care because the parents were starting to work, and they just said, you know, we're going to open up an after-school care in Marin Terrace. And I just went and told the principal I was interested. And he said, okay, because the kids were coming to my house anyways. I mean, I had a whole bunch of children after school. And I just got those children, moved them down, and start charging them. I was babysitting without knowing I was babysitting. And they enjoyed it. I used to charge them $1 a day.
This is when you did it at your house?
Or no, this is when I did it at the school.
Okay. And the school invited you to come?
Yes, yes. They had, like I said, the parents started to work and there was no place for these children to go. They were just going all over the neighborhood. And then when I got there, I charged them $1 and they would come down and play until 6 o'clock and have something to eat and play. And it was good because also somebody was watching them and they weren't out on the streets.
Yeah.
And then when Marin Terrace closed, the principal invited me to come with him over here in Tam Valley. And that's when the schools were closing. And there was two rooms that they had in storage. So I got the storage room, one storage room, put the storage in the other room, and opened up my own place there. And the principal was Bob DeVille, but he was very supportive. And then after, you know, the kids just came in and played and beautiful playground, I can watch them. Then I had to get somebody else to help me on the outside. And I would hire these high school kids who were fantastic kids. And then just stayed here.
So Marin Terrace would have been, I know you don't remember the dates exactly, but would have been maybe 30 years ago. And then you've been here...
I've been
25 years, would you say?
I've been here close to 40 years.
40 years?
No, more than 40 years.
More than 40 years.
Yeah, more than 40 years, yeah.
Taking care of kids after school.
Taking care of kids. And now I get to see the kids grow up, and they bring me their children. That's the best part of taking care of kids is they always come back. Well, a lot of them come back, and I get to see their families, and I like that part.
I bet that's really satisfying.
It is very satisfying.
Uh-huh. Plus, I would think when you're walking around town, people always say hi to you, right?
They do. They
kids
do.
And adults.
Yes.
Yeah.
I only know Mill Valley as a very friendly town. Uh-huh. Good people, good kids. Everything just seems to fit in just right. It's a good place to be.
Yeah. Now, you do this daycare every single day that there's school.
Yes.
Right. So you don't get much vacation.
This is what I like to do. I enjoy my job. I like being here. I like taking care of the kids. I like dealing with their happiness and their problems. And it's just a good place to be.
You've made a particular kind of environment for the after-school care. It's not very structured.
No, it's called supervised play.
Uh-huh.
My job is to make sure that they play and they don't get hurt. That's what I call my job. Mm-hmm. And make sure that nobody hurts them and they don't hurt anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to be very happy. It's mm-hmm. like what we had in our own neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
That you could come in at nighttime and have dinner. Now the kids can play and then they go home. I tell mm-hmm. the parents I get the best part of their kids' life.
That's true.
They're great kids. They take care of each other and they take care of me and they're learning.
Learning to play.
Learning to play. They're learning to give. They're learning to negotiate. They're learning to be responsible. Hopefully they're learning not to litter. I see them putting their stuff in the trash. You know, all those things that they need to know.
You're teaching them,
yeah.
I think. How many children do you have in the program now? Would you say?
About, well, it's a drop-in, so every day changes.
Would there be 100 kids here?
At one time?
Legally, no. Okay.
No, I would say probably 50? About 50.
Yeah.
Maybe
okay.
less.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they come and go, and, mm-hmm. and some come in just for 5 minutes, and then the parents are late, and they come pick them up. Or some parents are you know, stuck in the bridge.
Uh-huh.
Then we stay till they come pick up. So I just want the children to be kids.
Mm-hmm.
We have a creek. They love the creek. As soon as the water comes in, they go out and play and get nice and muddy.
Yep. It's a good compromise for working parents, I think, to have their children safe.
And there's a need. And they're such good kids that I don't... It's not work. It's fun. I just sit there and watch them work and see who gets along with who and how they play and make sure that they stay safe.
Mm-hmm. Beyond that, was it your love of children that took you into the Girl Scouts?
It was my daughters. My daughters wanted to be, so we just went in there and started doing it. I didn't want to be a leader, but nobody else did, so I did it.
And how long have you... Are you still a leader?
I'm still a leader, yes.
So that's been going on for 40...
No, I've just got my 55-year-old pin.
55, okay.
Yeah.
As a leader, as a member of the Girl Scouts?
As a leader, yeah.
So you continue to be a leader?
I continue to be a uh-huh. leader. Went to all their camps and was a craft counselor. I like crafts.
Uh-huh.
So...
And have there been any special experiences with the Girl Scouts that you would want to talk about?
Gee, there's so many good experiences. The girls, you know.
Before you go there, sorry. What age level are we talking about for
Girl
Scouts?
Yeah. Well, I went from Brownies, which is first or second grade. In those days, it started late until Cadets, which is the highest they could go. And with my daughters, I went there twice. And
which was high school?
No, before they hit high school.
Okay, so
yeah, after the high school,
mm-hmm.
they don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
But I went with them twice, and then now I'm doing. My daughter's uninvolved in this. I'm just doing Girl Scouts, fourth and fifth graders mainly.
Okay. Does your troop meet here at Tam Valley?
My troop meets here on Tuesdays.
And are they mostly Tam Valley girls then, or only?
Yes. But they're bringing in other kids from middle school. It started out I thought I was done, and then they came to me and said they wanted to be in Scouts. And so I took them on. And we do a lot of community service.
Mm-hmm. So, for example, what kind of community service?
Well, they do other troops have done Special Olympics with me, and they don't do it every day, but they just go once or twice. And we do the Mountain Play, we do the Fall Arts Festival, we do anytime they needed girls to do a presentation, like we were at the plaza for some kind of a Chamber of Commerce day. They do a lot of things with Tam Valley, but Breakfast with Santa. They help in the haunted house, you know, all kinds. Just getting involved.
And the public service, are they face painting or what
they
kinds
of
activities?
They used to do face painting,
yeah.
Yes. They used to do face painting. And on the Mountain Play, they helped the elderly people, the disabled people, get to the platform. And on the Fall Arts Festival, we do a project, and then we do a spider web with the big spider in the middle that the kids like. And let's see, where else...
How about at the art festivals?
That's art festival. They do that. They do the spider web.
Oh, the spider webs, right.
And do a project.
And then you're also doing crafts. Do you go camping?
Yes. Well, we used to go camping. I can't do it now, but I used to go camping and do craft counseling and all kinds of places, all Girl Scout things. And then we did mm-hmm. a low-income camp called Tamalpero. We did with some church. And
what was that, hosting children from
low-income families that would never get a chance to be camping.
So your girls were helping?
No, the girls did not help. Uh-huh. That was an adult thing.
I see.
And they needed an adult because the children were more. It was boys and girls.
So with that, was that a Girl Scout sponsored event or something that you got involved with because people knew you?
Yeah, I got involved because they needed a craft counselor and somebody knew me from Girl Scouts and they put my name up and they called me and I liked it.
Have you done that more than once?
Oh, we did that for about maybe 10 years.
Wow.
And then our funds ran out and they did something else.
You have been involved with the Special Olympics in Marin County. How did that come about?
That came about because I think I saw an ad or somebody told me that they needed help. And I went down there and I dealt with the lowest functioning adults. And same thing. I could take the bus and it was at the College of Marin. Very convenient. And I didn't have to, you know, go looking for it. And it's been very rewarding.
What kinds of things were you
doing? I was coaching frisbee and softball throw and 50-yard dash. But they took the frisbee out because they got too Olympic. The frisbee was not in the Olympics, so they took that out. And the kids really enjoyed it. But now the softball throw is and the 50-yard dash is on. So it's not. I think it's a 50-meter. Now everything has changed. Things have changed a lot.
And how long would you say you've been involved with Special Olympics?
Oh, I've been involved with Special Olympics at least 50 years.
50 years?
Yeah.
So you've seen all these changes.
I've seen the changes.
Uh-huh. But you're still helping out?
Right
you're
now, I go down. I can't walk very well, so I go down and I visit them and see them. And I've seen them grow up. I've seen some have passed away because of age or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Is that something that you do every week or every month, or is
I used to do it every week. Okay. Every Saturday, we go down and practice and get them ready for the big meet. And we used to go travel like to Los Angeles and have a big meet out there at that big Cal.
Uh-huh.
At the we'd have it at Berkeley every other year. And now they changed it. I don't know what they do now.
Okay.
And also they used to have. It didn't make any difference who you sent out there. You could just send, like, we would take turns. If you went last year, you don't go this year. You know, so everybody had a chance to go down there. And now you have to do a lot of the Olympics. You have to qualify for it, which is kind of sad because then my kids would never. But they're happy. They're happy just knowing that their friends are going.
Hmm. And they like the chance to perform these activities even if they're not
they like the attention best. They get well yeah. Last year we had it at I think it was Novato no it was Terra Linda and no they like the audience they like performing for them. They like the ribbons and they like their medals and all that they're very happy Olympians.
Mm-hmm.
We have a whole day in May that we have the Olympics here and they qualify and then they go to somewhere else wherever they're having a. It's not all L.A. now. It's all different towns have a special meet of that type.
Are there other activities that we haven't talked about?
Let's see. Activities like what?
That you have been involved in? Or would you like to just go
Little
into
League.
Talking about Mill Valley?
Yeah, I was a coach at Little League.
Little League?
Yeah.
Huh.
I was a Little League coach for the little one guys. And we practiced here at Tam Valley. And I had a big team. And
so the little guys, excuse me, but the little guys would have been kindergartners maybe or first graders?
First graders. I think they're mainly first and second graders. And I don't know what they call them now, but they used to be called, the Peewees or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And our name, we were the Muddies because Tam Valley was all full of mud. So the mud cats.
Uh-huh.
And that was fun. That was fun having, and it was mainly boys with a couple of girls. And they just played well. They were troopers. We had to change some rules for the league, because we had a special needs child, and their chant was not a good chant. So they made me stop the game, go across the field, talk to the coach, tell him we won't accept that kind of chant. And then they stopped it. And I've never heard the chant again. So that was very important. But that wasn't me doing that. That was my team that said that, you know, they need to stop that for the child. So that's the kind of kids that we had. And I'm sure we still have them. They were very supportive of each other.
Then you saw these little ones grow up
into
bigger baseball players over the years, I bet. Right.
And they were mainly Tam Valley kids that were in my team. So they, you know, I knew them. And they could stay after I finished working at 6, we would practice on the field. And that's when I was down there by where the library was at, in bungalows, they were called.
Further down the property here at Tam Valley.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that there weren't too many women coaching Little League.
There weren't. There were no women
coaching. You were unique.
There were no women coaching, yeah. But they needed somebody, and they said, you know, my son was in Little League, and they said, we need a... There's so many little kids on in Tam Valley. I said, well, I'm in Tam Valley. I can do it. And I did. Then by doing that, I also got other people came in. And there was a young kid that said one day, how do you get to be a coach? You know, I didn't know anything about baseball. I didn't know there was a strategy. I just knew that you hit the ball and you run. And got him to be a coach, too. So that was it is a positive. And that's before soccer came in, before all these other things. They just had baseball, and that was it. That's the whole thing they had for the kids.
So are you still coaching Little League?
No. I watch games. I would rather watch a kid's game than an adult game.
For sure.
Yeah.
So then when soccer came in, did you get involved with soccer?
My kids did. Uh-huh. No, I didn't. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So you were a fan then, but not a coach.
Yeah. And sometimes when I went to Little League to see my son's games, I would cheer for the other. If somebody did a good catch, I would cheer for them. And the parents would get so emotional of why I was rooting for the other team. I said, that's my kid. You know, that he needs a cheer. So, and my son didn't worry that I was cheering. He knew what I was doing. I was more looking at the kid than I was at what team he was in. And sometimes they were behind, you know, they were against him, and I was still cheering for their team. And the parents would get upset. Like, you should be loyal to your team. But I'm loyal to the kid.
Mm-hmm. You especially. You have so many kids.
Right, Little League coach and Boy Scouts. I did Boy Scouts, too.
You did?
Yeah.
For your son?
For my son, yeah. All the way up to fifth grade.
Were you doing Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts at the same time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You must be an amazing... Yeah. Time manager.
Yeah, you just don't put them both in the same day.
Did you ever sleep?
Very well. I sleep very well.
You're just so busy.
Yeah. I don't remember not sleeping, but I sleep real well. That's not a problem.
Wow. Well, in this long time that you've lived in Mill Valley, you've seen a lot of changes, I'm sure.
Oh, a lot of changes, yes.
Can you recall any?
Well, some of them was that we used to buy our shoes in Mill Valley, my kids' shoes. We used to buy our television from Mill Valley. We used to buy our drugs. There was 2 drugstores in Mill Valley, right across the street from each other. So we'd buy our drugs there. Everything was in Mill Valley. We used to buy our sheets in Mill Valley. Now I can't buy anything in Mill Valley. First of all, I'm not that age. They're only selling things to the pretty young ones, which is cute because they do look cute. But I, you know, everything was there. And we went to Crocker Bank before it was Wells Fargo. And do you remember there was a store down on Miller Avenue that had a belt that you'd buy your groceries and it would walk them all the way out. It would roll them all the way out to the sidewalk, and you'd pick up your groceries down there and get in your car and go. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's now a laundromat. And if you go to the laundromat, you'll see that it's got a slope down. That's where the groceries would go down. Yeah, the laundromat was that.
Is that the laundromat that's by the Marin Theater?
Yes.
And by Jolly?
Right.
Liquor store?
Yeah, and that place used to be a place that had a whole bunch of little shops, kind of arty shops, where people would sell their wares, like handmade wooden things, wooden or handmade fabric things, like weavings and things like that. It was pretty nice.
Mm-hmm. I think that was the Port.
The Port, that's right? What it was, the Port, yeah, the Port. And the theater behind there used to be, they used to have their presentations at Brown's Hall, which is now the Buddhist temple, the Buddhist thing. Mm-hmm. And I used to sew for that. Gentleman used to come pick me up at my house. Sally Lieberman used to come pick me up at the house. Yeah. And I'd go sew their costumes for them, tuck in, tuck out, or take out this or that. And then he'd drive me back home. He used to live somewhere around where I lived, up a hill. And then they made that big theater. And they did a Sally Lieberman, a small little hall. That was kind of neat. So we did that.
You when you were doing the shopping in Mill Valley, you don't drive.
No, I don't drive.
Right? So how did you do that?
Well, if you go down the hill from my place, which wasn't too, you know, in those days I could get down there in less than half an hour, we used to take the Greyhound. The Greyhound charged 80 cents to go only to Mill Valley. And it ran like every hour or something like that. But it charged 80 cents for the kids, 80 cents for everything. It's just 80 cents, no matter if anybody got on. And it's just stop off at the depot. So we could get off and do our shopping and come up. And my deal was if you can't carry it, you can't bring it. So we used to take backpacks, and if the kids wanted anything, they had to, you know, put it in their backpack. Oh, and then my husband would take us on Saturdays when he would get home. We'd go shopping for the shoes and all that stuff. But if we had any whims that we wanted, we would go down there. In fact, I would ask the kids what they wanted to do, you know, in summertime. And I would say, what are we going to do today? Disneyland's not an option. So we would go. They would say, we want to go down and get an ice cream. So we'd go to Baskin and Robbins and get an ice cream. And in the way that they're go to the bike path, which is used to be the railroad tracks. They loved the railroad tracks because they had all kinds of little treasures, nails and things like that. And we could stop off at Jerry's Market and get a nice sandwich, which used to be a drugstore and a grocery store.
That's where Whole Foods is now, right?
Yes, where Whole Foods is now. Mm-hmm. And let's see, what else we went to? We go, and then on the side where Brown's store used, where the Buddhist thing is at, they had another store that used to sell handmade stuff like jewelry and things like that. And I don't remember what their name was. Something. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. There was a store there that sold that, and we just walk all the way down to Mill Valley and go to, you know, window shop. And they had two jewelry stores in Mill Valley. One was a McDonald's, which was a drugstore, and then it was McDonald's. And then across the street, where there's a bank there, across from the depot, it was another jewelry store that we used to like to go look at. And then the depot had some great books. They didn't have food, they just had books. Mm-hmm. And the Greyhound would drop us off right there. And the buses would pick us up there later on. And then they put the buses down by the street. But the thing about it was that when the bus dropped you off there, you had like about half an hour wait, so you could go in and get some books and then go back on the bus.
The next bus back.
Yeah. Or the next bus. They started having transfers. Uh-huh. So you could get off the bus and get back on.
Uh-huh. If you wanted to take the bus to College of Marin, for example, how would you catch that at the depot, or would it be down?
No, I'd take a bus. And still would, you take a bus by Safeway. When the buses came in, you take it at Safeway, go to Strawberry, and then get the bus from there to College of Marin. It drops you right at the front door.
Okay.
That's a very...
Okay. And you're saying that's still how
you
would
go? That's still doing it, yeah. Yeah. They just change their time. They don't change the schedule. I mean, they change the time, but they don't change the route. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's, a lot of people have to go to, you know, to college on that. Mm-hmm. And we've ridden our bikes to Special Olympics when the girls helped. We rode our bikes there one time. And then there used to be a pizza place up there that we stopped off on the way back. But all that, just getting the kids involved in mm-hmm. everything. And let's see, where else? Oh, and across from, that's a good one. Across from Tam High, there used to be a restaurant. I guess it was a restaurant, what do you call it? Called Hamby's. Do you remember that? There was a Hamby's right across. Right now, it's some kind of a therapy place.
Oh, okay, just down Miller.
As you make the turn, you make the turn going up Gomez, that there was a Hamby's there, mm-hmm. Hamburgers. It was really mm-hmm. good.
Mm-hmm. And so, was that a hot spot for the teens from the high school?
Yeah, but they're the ones that closed it down.
The high school closed it?
Yeah, because they would sit. There were steps going down, and they would sit there with their feet like this and eat their hamburger. Mm-hmm. And people would not go over there because, you know, teenagers are teenagers, and they wouldn't cross it. I went in. They would just move. I said, come on, guys, I'm going through. They would move. Uh-huh. But people were just afraid of the teenagers, I guess. I don't know, but they, the guy couldn't handle that. All his business was down there. So that. But the kids enjoyed it, mm-hmm. just too much. And then there was Kentucky Fried Chicken was Taco Bell, Jack in the Box, all those uh-huh. places out there.
I do remember.
And
those.
The kid and Tam High's always had open campus, so mm-hmm. the kids go eat wherever they want. I don't know. Yeah, I guess they still have places to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just know that you don't go down there between 11 and 12:30.
If you're not a student, yeah. don't go for lunch.
Yeah. But yeah, that was a good one, though. And Jerry's Meat was a drugstore where Whole Foods is at. Mm-hmm. The Kraft, the groceries, Hamby's, Jack in the Box, the Greyhound, the Depot, jewelry store. Oh, and there was a restaurant called The Palette.
Don't know about that either.
Oh, The Palette was down by where I think there's a linen store there now. You know where Demetrius was? Uh-huh. It's down towards Mill Valley.
Throckmorton.
Yeah, but it burned down. It was that, and there was a studio in there called Curtis. He's the one that took pictures of the American Indians. So he had the right next to that. And somehow it burned. And so all that went flat, and then they started rebuilding it again. But all his photographs and all that, all his, I think they were prints. He had a lot of photographs of the same thing, so that means it was prints. But a lot of that went down, and it was kind of sad because it was kind of interesting to go down and see his displays on his windows of different people doing different things. But he was, I don't know if it was his, but it was mm-hmm. that was called it was his stuff that was mm-hmm. in there, and it burned down. And Demetrius is now a brewery,
right?
And then the library was where across the street from Mount Carmel Salvage Shop.
Right.
That my kids used to love to go there. It was kind of on the bottom was the children's area.
In the library.
The library, yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And they would just go, and it was like they had benches all the way around, and the books were all the way around, so the kids could just, I mean, it was really a nice place to be. And the sad part about that is that now it has all these trees growing, and you don't see the building. You just mm-hmm. see the trees. I wish that we could see the trees. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could see the building. Mm-hmm. But that was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm.
That made a transformation from library to private homes.
Private homes, yeah, yeah. And it's that brick wall, and you used to go down mm-hmm. to the cellar, more or less. And it wasn't cold. It was just a nice, cozy little spot. Huh. That was kind of interesting to see that. And the lumberyard was there. And they would always give us free sawdust. What do you use sawdust for?
Right, what do you use sawdust for?
You put white glue in it and make it like a clay. And then you sculpt it. And after you're done with it, we used to make puppet heads. After you sculpt it, you sand it.
Huh.
You know, you just have to be careful because sometimes it would splinter on you. But if you wear gloves, you know, uh-huh. it wouldn't hurt uh-huh. it. But the Boy Scouts used to love to do that, is make little puppet heads.
Great use for sawdust.
Yeah, when they said free sawdust, I said, what are you going to use free sawdust for? And I thought, oh, somewhere in my books I saw that you get free sawdust. Not that you get free sawdust. You would get sawdust and add glue to it, make it like, and I tried it. Or you can make little bowls, you know, whatever. It was just like clay, except you don't have to bake it. It was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I see they still have their sign pre-sawdust. I don't think anybody else used it but me.
They still have some there for you.
Yeah, probably. I should try it again and see if I can do something with it. Pre-sawdust was really good. Okay, let's see. Yeah, we made the wood sculptures. Oh, they used to have a material store in Mill Valley. In fact, I think they had two material stores. They had Bridey stores. Bridey.
Oh, Variety, yeah, right. Like five and general dime. Store.
There was one down now that I think it's by the new restaurant that opened up there, somewhere around there.
Uh-huh.
There was a Bridey store.
Right.
And then there was one going up to the library. And I think that gentleman, Fred Myers, I think that's his name, Fred somebody, mm-hmm. was, I think he belongs to the seniors. I haven't seen him for a while.
Hmm.
But he had a variety store there.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen a sign that where it said 5 and 10 cent store, five mm-hmm. and dime, right?
Yeah.
Along Throckmorton as you're going up to the library.
Yeah, yeah. That's the one. Yeah. Yeah. And then they opened up another one.
That's okay.
And then they opened up another, there was another one down where, on the corner, on the main street, I think there's, by the locksmith's place, I think that was a hardware and a variety store.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and variety.
Yeah, I think it's done by one person that was a mayor of Mill Valley.
Okay.
A woman.
Okay.
Ruth somebody. I should take care of her kids.
Okay.
Anyways, that was there. So Mill Valley was a real town where you could buy, you know, you could live there. Now, mm-hmm. now you have to go out to buy anything mm-hmm. except go to the groceries.
Mm-hmm.
But that was mm-hmm. kind of, let's see. Oh, and they had the bead place. Did you guys ever go to the bead place, the Sundancer?
No.
It's down, I think there's something like 9 is the name of the building. The Artisans, remember the Artisans?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right mm-hmm. above the Artisans, there was a bead store that the kids used to love to go. After their ice cream, they would go down and get the beads.
Uh-huh.
And they had tables and tables and tables of beads. And the guy would just sit there and just, I don't know what he was doing,
just
listen to music or something while you go shopping, and then you bring him your things, he'd count uh-huh. them up and give them to him.
Uh-huh.
You paid for it. That was kind of nice.
Uh-huh. With your Girl Scouts, do you still do things like that? Do you do beading?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Whatever?
Yeah. We do everything. We try. I mean, these girls have been here since probably fourth grade, and now they're eighth grade. So we've done a little bit of that. We've done sewing. We've done beading. We've done, I tried to teach them knitting, and that's pretty hard for them, but I'm going to try again. There's so many good things they could do with knitting.
Mm-hmm. Good skill.
Yeah.
I guess I'm thinking there's another bead store in Mill Valley now in the Locust area. So maybe replaced the one that was downtown.
Oh, I don't think anything could replace it. Because these guys had, you know, you get a handful of beads and it costs you 50 cents. Now you get a handful of beads, it costs you $50.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're good beads, you know.
Uh-huh.
And he had some good, they did a good, and we used to do the Indian beading on the looms where you go back and forth and
mm-hmm.
the seed beads and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. And before Artisans, it was storage. There was a storage place before Artisans came in. I think before Artisans, I think that was a changeover.
Uh-huh.
And let's see.
Do you recall car dealerships downtown?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't
okay.
See
maybe
that.
Not something that was really interesting to
yeah.
you.
Yeah, it wasn't interesting. And I don't remember having any car dealerships. There was a bike shop. The bike shop now used to belong to Mr. Reynolds, the one on Miller Avenue, which is now something else.
Uh-huh.
I got a lot of my bikes. I used to buy bikes like crazy. And anytime there was a good deal, he'd let me know.
The bike. Somebody always needed a bike.
Yeah. I used to ride my bike all over the place. I used to teach at O'Meal.
You did?
Yeah. Art. I taught art at O'Meal. I taught art at Homestead and Tam Valley and Marin Terrace. I mean, it was just...
Still, tell me some more about that.
Oh, I started in Marin Terrace. Well, my kids went to Marin Terrace. So I started volunteering, and then they had a kiln that had been there. Nobody used it, so I learned how to use it. And I started teaching arts in a little room, I think it was by 12 by 12. So the teachers would send the kids down there and we'd do art. And then when I moved over here, like I said, there was a storage room. I moved that storage room and I made the art room. I pushed all the storage to the side and made half a room was the art room. And they had a kiln also, so I just felt at home. And the teachers that from Marin Terrace that came over here said, would you do art with me again? And I said, sure. So I started doing it. And the other teachers would say, how come you're doing it with her, not with me? I said, because they ask. I don't want to step on somebody's toes. And they ask if I would do it, and the room was available. And like I said, I had Bob DeVilbus, and he was very supportive. And whatever I wanted to do, he agreed to it. There was no harm in that. And then pretty soon another teacher would say, well, you know, you're doing it with them. Will you do it with me? I said, yeah, sure. So I started doing the art. And then somehow I started getting paid $100 a month for doing art, 24 hours, and then doing my after school. I wasn't doing anything anyways, and it takes so long to walk home to come back, which a lot of times I did. And then Kiddo took over, and they got different people to do it.
I see.
Yeah, because I had no art education. I was just a parent volunteer.
So would you say you did it for more than 10 years?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did it for a long time. Mm-hmm. Before Kiddo came in. And Kiddo came in and started hiring educated people, I guess. Uh-huh. They made a plan. I went to the meeting, and they were saying they wanted people with this education, that education. I said, whoops, there goes my job. Uh-huh. And sure enough, they found a way. So, well, the kids are happy. That's the main thing. And they loved art. So what else? And then I used to teach, and then the principals from Homestead came and wanted me to teach there too. They were having a shortage of teachers. Well, they didn't have Kiddo. They didn't have, you know, I guess that's when Kiddo came in, because there was not enough room. And you know, I was cheap. I would volunteer just to go, or they paid me minimum, and then O'Meal needed a person. They came and asked me if I would do it, sure. And then I would volunteer at Edna McGuire now and then, when their art teacher wasn't there, you know, when they had a sub. When they needed a sub, they called me, but I wasn't getting paid for that one. And I went to Park a couple of times, just the same thing. I don't know how or why, but they would call and say, can you teach art on this day? I said, yeah, sure, I'll be there.
So I guess you might say Mondays at at Tam Valley, Tuesdays at Homestead,
right?
And just make the rounds of the elementary schools,
and then come back here and do my thing. And then slowly they started getting, like I said, they started getting different teachers, and I didn't have to go to Edna McGuire anymore. I didn't have to go to those, and but they, you know. I don't understand how. They just, I don't know who told them I was available, but they would just call and say, you know, we need somebody at this place. Can you be there? I'm like, yeah, sure. And sometimes I got paid, sometimes I didn't. It I don't remember, but I'm sure I did sometimes. And it was fun knowing all the things and knowing all the kids and meeting people. Sometimes I'd have to go to O'Meal at 11 o'clock at night and turn the kilt a little higher, so I'd walk there and walk back.
Wow.
And sometimes I'd get a ride. It was interesting. I don't know why.
You've had such an impact on the children in particular of Mill Valley, but
it's been fun. It's been really good.
Such a wide reach.
And some of the kids I meet, I don't remember. For some, most of them I do. If they're Tam Valley ones, I do, because I've had them longer. Uh-huh. But on the other school, some of them just come and say, "Oh, you were my art teacher." At such, I don't remember that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess we could try to wrap up here. And
And Tam Valley had a hardware store.
Tam Valley had a hardware
store down here at
in the junction.
There's across from Walgreens. Walgreens wasn't there. But there was a hardware store there, a real nice hardware store.
Huh. In the location where Walgreens is?
There's a bodybuilding or something in there. And there's a coffee shop at the side. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. That was a hardware store.
That was convenient for you.
It was good. Yeah, yeah. And the guys are so good. I would just go down and say, I need this and I need that, and they would find it for me. And also, if I had a problem, they would tell me how to deal with it. That was really good. They were really. And then Goodman's came in. And once Goodman's mm-hmm. comes in, it wipes out the little guy. Right. And there was another hardware store in Mill Valley also.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
So it just...
Yeah. Well, Tam Junction used to be another shopping center, I guess, for the local people.
For the
right?
local people, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They had post office there. Mm-hmm. They had the laundromat. They had the store. They had... I don't remember who came first, Bell or Calla. One of those was there first. And in their parks, there were, before this new thing was, the community center was just being built. It was just being organized. Mm-hmm. But we used to go to K Park. Have you seen K Park? Mm-hmm. It used to be weeds up to your waist. And they had that round spinning thing that the kids loved. But that was all there was. And
that's been fixed up, though, now.
Yeah. We would look at the map, and they would say, there's a park here. Let's go to it. So we'd go to it, like Cape Park. And
mm-hmm. How about the one that's down at the very end of Tam Valley? That park way down?
No, Cape Park is in residential.
Right. But then there's another one that's way back. Eastwood, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we used to go down there, too, and that was just a vacant lot. Mm-hmm. And now it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. They worked hard, and they worked hard on K-Park, too, to make it. And we used to go to Sycamore Park, too, because that was on the map. Mm-hmm. And all those have improved. I worked on Sycamore Park when they same thing. They put an ad in and said, we need help at Sycamore Park. And my kids went and had such a good time there. And just because it was a park, just sit there and eat or run or play or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so this last time they asked for help, and they fixed it up really nice. It really, it's nice. Mm-hmm. Still don't have bathrooms, though.
next wave of improvement, maybe.
No, I don't think they would. K Park, you know, the neighbors don't want. And the same thing, I think, it's at Sycamore Park, and then there's another one higher up. There's two parks on same street. I don't remember what that one is. Uh-huh. But they used to go down there.
Your kids did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We used to go all the time. Yeah. My kids didn't travel alone. I went with them. Uh-huh. Yeah. It was a long way from home.
Yeah.
We used to walk to see my son's baseball games after school, go down and.
To Boyle Park.
Boyle Park, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which has really improved also.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. They've been working hard taking care of the kids. And remember when, what is that? Park down here, hockey park, was not a park. That was kind of, we used to fly kites there.
So it was open, it was an open space, but not officially a park.
Right, open space. Mm-hmm. With nothing in there but grass and weeds and little mounts where we could take our kites out there. Mm-hmm. And we used to fly kites at the seminary also. That was kind of nice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think soccer has needed play space in all of those parks, and they've been improved to provide soccer fields, right?
Right. Yeah. And they used to play baseball there, too. I think we had games there. They used to have baseball. Uh-huh. And I haven't been there for a long time.
Yeah. At a seminary, are you thinking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We used to go down to seminary.
Uh-huh. Right.
My husband used to like fly kites, so we used to take all the kids to fly kites. And middle school wasn't there. It was open space, and that's where we had the horse corral.
Oh, horses! Yes, the horses what about horses?
Yeah, my daughter had a pony, so we used to go down there. And she was probably about 8 or 9 years old, and there was gentlemen, elderly gentlemen, up there. And she was the queen of the place because she was the only kid there, and they would teach her things, and she would listen to them. And say like this, and they thought that was the best thing, that, you know, somebody would listen to them.
So this was a private horse club that was in
it's
that area?
It's SMHA, Southern Marine Horsemen's Association.
Uh-huh. Okay. And they were there where the community center
is
now?
Where the community center is at. That's why all that good stuff is growing there. And they used to have little rodales, and they used to have, not rodales, but skill things, you know, where you ride. They never did the cow thing. I would have maybe cried if they did that.
Like roping the
cow. Yeah, they didn't have roping. No roping. Uh-huh. They did skills like jumping and going into obstacles and things like that, and having the horse run a certain way. I didn't understand it, my daughter. And we had a snack bar there so they could buy snacks. And
So did kids from town come and watch these things, or even adults come
people
and watch
would come
the
down,
events?
But it was, they would come down, and some of the guys, well, you know, they were very competitive among themselves. And they were teaching my daughter, and she used to win a lot of ribbons. They taught her well. And I think the main thing that they liked was that she listened. Mm-hmm. She listened, mm-hmm. and she asked mm-hmm. questions, and they just thought she was the smartest thing in the world. She's the cutest, the best.
How old was she at this
point?
She was
probably about eight or nine uh-huh. years old.
And she had her own horse?
She had a pony. Uh-huh. She had a pony.
How did she acquire the pony?
A pony she acquired because somebody found, our neighbor saw this pony was going to be given away or sold. No, it was going to be sold, and they thought she'd like a pony. They bought it for her. I had no, and they just said, look what we bought for her. I was, oh my God, what am I going to do? And in those days, land was free. All around our neighborhood, there was no houses, so that we could just put a fence up, and they kept him in there. But that little rascal used to run away a lot, and she used to go looking for it. He never crossed the freeway, though. But he would go, and he'd eat up people's gardens. He would go chomp them up, and we could hear him clumping, and she would go out and find him and bring him, and she would say, get over here, come over here. And he'd look in her, and he'd come. Pretty much, it was a two-inch hold he would get out of that. And then she found a friend who had a horse, and they were looking for a place, so they put the horse and the pony together in a lot. So now she had an adult that she could go riding down the uh-huh. Tennessee Valley.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And they rode out there, and the lady taught her how to repair the fence and how to, things I never knew.
Uh-huh.
And so the pony didn't have to run away, out of the block.
Uh-huh.
But she had that pony trained like a horse, like a dog.
Uh-huh.
She would say, get over here, Paco.
So how long did she ride?
She rode for a couple of years, and then she got too big that her feet dragged on the ground. And she said, she was at middle school, I think, almost going to high school. And she said, this isn't fair, you know, this isn't fair to him that you know, I'm so big. So she looked around and tried to find somebody for him, and she found this one boy in Santa Rosa that wanted a pony. And she went out and checked him out a couple of times, making sure he was the right guy for her pony. Because the horse was only treated with kindness, and mm-hmm. she wanted to make sure that this kid knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And finally she approved him, said he'll take care of him. So she sold him for $1. But she didn't want to sell him, but my husband said, if you sell him, you're done with the responsibility. If you don't sell him, if something happens to the kid, you're responsible.
Oh, okay.
So she sold it to him for $1, and she said, I don't want to sell my friend.
Oh.
But she sold them.
And then she didn't ride after that?
No. She rode horses then after that. Yeah. Wherever she could find a horse or somebody. Mm-hmm. And she would do things like you sponsor a horse. You take care of them when somebody goes on vacation and you get to ride them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of...
Okay. So she stayed with her horse skills for a long time?
Yeah. Yeah. I think mm-hmm. if she wanted to, she would. She would ride in San Francisco off the Presidio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not when you pay.
Mm-hmm.
But over here, mm-hmm. you sponsor a horse and... Because when somebody would go on vacation, they need to feed the horse and all that. So
mm-hmm.
by feeding the horse, she gets to ride him. Otherwise, she'd have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked out mm-hmm. good.
Were you a horsewoman when you were young?
No, I don't know the first thing about horses. Not a thing. And this is what the woman said, you know, look what we bought for the baby. I said, oh, no, what am I going to do with that? How do you feed them? Do they wear diapers, you know? What... And then after she had a place for him, and then she decided that she wanted him closer. She wanted him in the backyard. So she put him in the backyard. Well, he lasted there for about 1 week. She had to clean the poops and all that. every single day, like every 3 hours. And she decided she'd put him back in the corral and clean up there once a week. But it was a learning experience. It was good. Mm-hmm. Now I've had a good life.
It sounds like you've had a great small town life with, you know, a great impact as
it's a resident. It's been a good life. I don't have too many complaints. I've got a couple, but that
none that you want to talk about.
Nah, no, not worth it. I don't want to put space in my head for those.
Yeah. Oh, good idea.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for recording this interview, and hopefully it'll be available for all your students and all
it's
the
adults.
It's been
fun talking about Mill Valley because it's, you know, the changes. And I think if you leave and you come back the next week, things still change. Look what they're doing down on Miller Avenue. Mm-hmm. You know, how is that going to come out? Is that going to come out really? Hopefully it's going to come out as nice as they want it to.
Yeah, yeah.
But right now it's crazy.
That's true. Yeah. Well, and you've probably seen it in a couple of other renovations over the years, haven't you?
But not as big as this.
This is a big one.
You know, it used to be ugly coming into Mill Valley. Mm-hmm. And now they planted, you know, by the Tam High, they planted all this. That's just, it's really nice. They are working hard on it. Mm-hmm. And I think one time they planted something that died because it wasn't something that could take all the motor exhaust or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it is nice. It's good coming into Mill Valley.
It's a welcome, makes it a more welcoming entry.
And the same thing with Tam Valley, you know, with that store being there, it looks a lot nicer.
Oh, for sure.
They've done a great job.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, thank you so much, Tia.
Good.
This is part two of the interview with Tia, because we found a few more things that we want to talk about. Okay, so Tia, you were going to tell us something about some hobbies.
Okay, besides kids, my hobbies were miniatures, teddy bears, cloths, and puppets. And I used to go to conventions just to go visit the city. If they had a convention in Kansas, I would go to that. Then you do workshops and you meet people. And it's just fun time to be. On the puppets, we would stay at colleges. So I've been to a lot of colleges, MIT, Cal, San Diego, Boston, all these colleges. We use it during summertime, and we get to see the college and get to see the town, get to meet good people. And it's so much fun. It's just my adult time, besides taking care of the kids, and that's during summertime.
Were at these conferences, were you learning techniques, or were you exchanging your
both? We
your
were learning how to do different things. Like if I was having trouble gluing things, there would be somebody that would show you there's different glues for different things. Or we used to make a lot of furniture. Henry would have trouble, like, how do you do this, make things happen? And they would teach you how to do that. And we'd have a luncheon, and at every time we'd have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and every time you sat down for something, there would be a little present there for you that somebody had made. Mm-hmm. Some had made, and we had people like 300 or 400 people there. Then it started going down, and I haven't done that for a long time because I can't travel well. But I think it's down. Our club has disbanded because we couldn't keep it together. Everybody was passing; they were just gone. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like young people aren't coming into these clubs.
They weren't. Yeah. They weren't coming in. And we've invited them, but they just weren't interested. And yet now I still get their magazines, and I see that there are a lot of young ones starting. They're starting to get them young, like 10 and 12, so they would continue.
Mm-hmm. Did you do these different collectibles at the same time? Were you doing miniatures and teddy bears and dolls?
Yes.
And puppets?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Anytime. So, and puppets, I think, was my longest one. I've always loved puppets or teddy bears. I mean, they just happen, and then all of a sudden you find these other people that like to do the same thing. For teddy bears, I used to travel to San Jose, and we used to have conventions in San Jose at the Red Barn a lot. And the same thing, you teach, you sell. I don't sell, but you buy things, and you learn how to do things, and I'm not one of the professional ones, but these people get big bucks for whatever they make.
Huh. What did you do with the items that you made and collected?
No, I keep them. I can't find some of them. I can't find. I put away.
But you didn't. You never sold them.
I don't sell. No, I make them and I don't sell. Huh. Cloth dolls, the same thing. There was a cloth doll exhibit at Petaluma about 2 months ago, and you see all these fantastic people make dolls. Dolls are not just a form. You know, they decorate them, they dress them. Some are made just with cloth and their bodies. I mean, it's really neat.
So you're still going to some of the
I go if I know it's on, just to look and mm-hmm. see what they're done.
Are you making any still?
Right now I'm making some dolls, but they're just cloth dolls. They're just the two-piece, back and front and arms and legs. Mm-hmm. And I'm crocheting a little dress for them because they need some dolls for a bazaar. Well, they need some. They need me to make something for a bazaar we're going to have at the Mill Valley Community Center. So I made a couple. I was going to make a couple of dolls. I will make them by the time we get it done. But they're little ones. And if they sell, fine. If they don't sell, I'll just add them to my.
So is your house full of these little guys?
They're so full. Yes, they're so full. They're on the floor. I need to make cupboards or something to put them up on. But no, I like the stuff I make, and I made my puppet that I made, my smallest puppet I made, was probably about 2 inches. And I made a teddy bear, and I made a Mexican little girl.
Were these puppets that would fit on a finger?
No, these are puppets. These are marionettes. Uh-huh. I just made them for display. They fit into something like that. Yeah, I do make the ones for puppets. That's what I teach at the Fall Arts Festival. I like to make a puppet. Because I had a friend called Letty who used to be a professional puppeteer. And then we just worked together and learned. I learned a lot from her. And she's gone now. But now the Grove in Mill Valley, when the Fall Festival goes on, they call that Letty Schubert Grove.
And you're teaching making puppets and marionettes to the children?
I made up my own marionette. I have a nice, cute little dog that I like to teach the kids. And I've taught adults, too. And I taught one adult lady who's going to take it to prison to teach the female inmates how to make a little marionette. It's a little dog that's very easy to make. Mm-hmm. And I've taught, what else? I've taught that puppet to young girls who are pregnant. There's some kind of a rescue for girls who are pregnant and have no place to go. We did a workshop on that, and that was kind of a hit because they made it for their first baby that they were very happy with. And I've taught teddy bears to the same, different set of girls, but same organization. No, I like teaching.
Yeah, that sounds like
and
another.
And I'm teaching a teddy bear workshop I think it's in February, for Girl Scout leaders to teach. Simple to teach, so to teach the girls. The leaders learn, pass it on to the girls. Uh-huh.
That's wonderful.
So it's just a good hobby. Uh-huh. Very simple, something they could do all the time.
Great, and you're still doing it. Keeping you busy and teaching it still.
Yeah, I like spreading my knowledge to whoever wants to listen.
Okay, thank you.